My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate the Feast of the Seven Joys of Our Lady. It's a Franciscan feast with a long tradition. Joy is a feeling that is aroused by the expectation or the possession of some good. And so, clearly, Our Lady, who possessed the greatest good, was filled with joy. Now, Our Lady, of course, being the perfect human creature, experienced all of the emotions in their purity. And we know, we actually pray the rosary of seven sorrows, the seven joys, and the seven glories of Mary. The Franciscans from the time of St. Francis until now have always had a very special regard for Mary. St. Francis entrusted the order to her, and the crown, or that's a name given to the rosary, the crown, the Franciscan crown, goes back to the 15th century with a certain novice, James was his name, in 1422, who had a special devotion to Our Lady, and every day he would weave a crown of flowers and place it upon the statue of her and pray. And this was a particular devotion of his, and at that time, novices, and still to this day, are discouraged from singular sorts of acts that are particular to them. It's a process of purification when they were taught to relinquish our personal sorts of spiritualities, not entirely, but certain actions that set you apart from the rest of the group are usually discouraged. You're expected to live in conformity with the whole community. So for this reason, he was told that he had to stop that practice. And he was so upset about it that he planned to leave. And Our Lady appeared to him and said, "Remain here and do not grieve because you can no longer weave a wreath of flowers for me. I will teach you how you can daily weave a crown of roses that will not wither and will be more pleasing to me and more meritorious for yourself." And then she taught him. She taught him to recite seven decades in her honor every day. The decades were to take the theme of the seven joys of Mary experienced when she lived among us. These prayers would take the place of the crown of actual flowers, which would otherwise wither every day. James began this devotion without telling anyone. However, one day the director of novices saw him praying in the chapel with an angel next to him. The latter was weaving a crown of roses, placing a golden lily between each of the ten roses. And when James finished praying, the angel placed the crown upon his head. The novice master asked the young friar about the meaning of this vision. After hearing the explanation, he told the other friars, and soon the practice of reciting the crown of the seven joys spread throughout the Franciscan order. And it's still to this day prayed. And there's even another variation on the seven joys, which is seven decades of seven. And so what are these seven joys? Well, in the booklet of our community prayer, there's a meditation for each one, so I'll read those. The first, "We rejoice with you, Mary, for the immense joy that filled your heart at the announcement of the Archangel Gabriel. We rejoice with you, Mary." Second, "We rejoice with you, Mary, for the consolation you felt in your visit to Saint Elizabeth." Third joy, "We rejoice with you, Mary, for the ineffable joy you felt at the birth of Jesus." So far, these are parallel to the first three joyful mysteries of the standard five-decade rosary. The fourth is particular. "We rejoice with you, Mary, for the profound happiness your heart experienced at the adoration of the Magi." So when she had baby Jesus and the Magi came from Persia to adore him and recognize him as the Messiah, as the King of Kings. Fifth, we rejoice with you, Mary, for the jubilation your heart felt at finding Jesus in the temple. So that corresponds to the fourth mystery of the standard rosary. Then the sixth is also unique. We rejoice with you, Mary, for the purest joy that filled your heart when the risen Jesus appeared to you. And a certain tradition has it that Jesus first appeared to Mary. It's not recounted in the scripture, but according to Venerable Mary of Agreda, in her mystical experience, it was revealed to her that Jesus first appeared to Mary. And Pope St. John Paul II in Redemptoris Mater also alludes to it. He doesn't state it directly, but he says that she was, just as she was privileged and in a particular way united with Christ at the foot of the cross, so too she received particular privilege at the resurrection. And it's fitting that Jesus, who was closest to her and to whom she was closest in all of his earthly life, would be the first person that he wanted to appear to and show that he had overcome death in the resurrection. Finally, the seventh joy in the Franciscan crown is, we rejoice with you, Mary, for the immense joy you had when you were assumed into heaven and there crowned queen. So the assumption and the coronation combined in the seventh joy of Our Lady. And theologically, we can see that this is consistent with Mary's maternal role. Just as she is the mother of God, we celebrate her seven glories. And as she is the mother of the Redeemer, we celebrate, or we remember and venerate her in her sorrows, as the sorrowful mother at the foot of the cross and all of the sorrows that she suffered in the maltreatment that Jesus receives from men. And then, because she is the mother of the redeemed, which is all of us, we celebrate her joys. Because, as I said at the beginning, joy is the experience that we feel in our heart when we expect or possess some good. And Mary, perfectly redeemed, has been perfectly united to God throughout all her existence, and so possesses the ultimate good, the unity with God. And her joy is in knowing that after this earthly exile, this pilgrimage and suffering that we have to go through as part of our purification, that one day we too will possess God in a perfect union in heaven forever. And so her joys are linked to her being the mother of the redeemed. Let us pray then for an increase in the fear of God, as our Lord, as Our Lady said in the Magnificat, that his mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. And so a proper love of God leads then, and a fear of God, of offending him, leads us to live a good life and a stronger and stronger hope in our own resurrection. And the Blessed Mother is our greatest help. So with the intercession of all the Franciscan saints, Blessed James, St. Francis, St. Bonaventure, Blessed John Duns Scotus, and all of the long line of Franciscans who understood this golden thread of Marian devotion, let us pray that we too may be part of that great tradition of the golden thread of devotion to our Mary, to Our Lady Mary, and one day attain the full possession of joy as she now enjoys. Praise be Jesus and Mary.